Some of the content of Patriots Unfiltered may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The world's original podcast.
Welcome to Patriots Unfiltered.
Evan, he's going to be going to Drake May's pro day as well as Jaden Daniels. Are we going to have to keep a leash on you, though? Because you can't be, like, running out there and, like, running up the scouts.
Off. Break it off at the stem. You got to stack. You got to stack them.
Malik!
No. So maybe I'll get, like, a radar gun and put it, like, right behind him and get the MPHs.
Can you get a radar gun through TSA?
Obviously, texted Barth. I was like, Josh Downs is good. Who the heck is this quarterback? And that's when he tells me his autobiography of Drake May. And
I love the shots.
Wouldn't it just be a biography?
Poor Barth. I hope the best for him. He's a human being.
Yeah, I mean, do you hope Zach Wilson does?
Yes.
No, you don't.
I do. Both things are true. Mac is not good, and the team did everything they could to ruin him. My question is...
I could kiss that guy in the lips.
This is Patriots Unfiltered.
Presented by Toyota's official website for deals, buyatoyota.com.
Patriots Unfiltered!
Okay, we're back here on Patriots Unfiltered. We're aware of the audio and video issues. Apparently, the app is working fine, so if you're having trouble on YouTube or anywhere else, go to the Patriots app, and for now, listen to us on the app, because that's sounding okay. Yeah. So, all right.
We'll just power through it.
It's unfortunate because Mike made some really good points.
Rare.
Everybody wants to ignore defense. You know, Evan is openly mocking him for it. And Mike made some really good points, and now no one will know.
I feel like
we're going to record it. Hopefully, we'll have this.
I feel like Mike has been pounding the table about the lack of depth on the defense all season long, and just pointing the finger at.
The only good part of the team.
And there's so many holes that need to be filled.
Gotta be better.
I would say holes are like with a small H, not a capital H.
Yes, again, and it's early, but you know, just when I got to be honest. There's a list of guys that you kind of like, and most of those guys that I like that I thought fit are kind of gone now. So it is what it is. I don't think that it's
you make some really good points, and I don't mean that sarcastically because to me right now. I look at what's happened so far in free agency for the Patriots, and I say, who signed with another team that you were really interested in them going after?
Yep.
And I don't really see a lot of names that have come off the board yet where I'm like, wow, that was a miss. You know, not signing Calvin Ridley would be a miss, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Not signing one of the top tackles that are in free agency would be a miss. Would I have paid Christian Wilkins $110 million to then turn around and hand Christian Barmore $110 million? Probably not. So, like, there's just those things are. But the edge rushers made a good
point.
Like
Armstrong from the Cowboys, I like. Grenard, who signed a big deal almost immediately. You know, just a couple guys that I think would really make a nice bookend with Judon.
Sneaky good player.
But I agree with Evan's overall point about free agency in general. There's been a lot of movement, but not a lot of splashes.
No.
Like there have been a lot of guys changing teams, especially the wide the running backs.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just seem to be like changing socks. Like
it was,
you know,
like,
it's do you want Aaron Jones or do you want
Saquon Barkley,
Josh Jacobs,
yeah. And you know they just decided, well, we'd rather have Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones won't take our number, so that's fine. You let him go, then he signs with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Like all these teams just seem to be trading. Running backs, but you don't see the big deals for those top tackles, Tyron Smith and Jonah Wins, and you don't see wide receivers kind of all got done before free agency started.
Yeah,
so
retaining theirs.
You know, you're seeing minor moves with like Darnell Mooney. Yeah. I think got 3 and 39. I think anybody would love to have Calvin Ridley at a number like that. It's probably not going to happen. So. I think it has. I think Evan's point about the best players.
Look, it's Paul.
Haven't moved yet. Yeah. The really top. I mean,
on the offensive side of the
That the Patriots would be interested in. Yeah, like I think that's the way you put it. Like not that the best players haven't moved. You put it. What player would you be really wanting, pounding the table for that has moved?
Yeah,
if you were the Patriots, and I think you can make an argument that really none of them.
No, and that's why I just brought up the defense, but probably a good spot to bring up Antonio Gibson, who you know just seems to fill that need that they haven't really had since they lost James White with a legit receiving back who again it's that model that I like. He's like 26, just coming off his first contract. He's at a good age, so I like that signing. I think it was necessary. I mean, we talked a lot about how are they going to tap this free agency running back class. And I think you made a great point, Paul, that like that's the group that went first. And, you know, we talk about the draft, too, where it's, you know, not really top heavy, but there's, you know, guys throughout that have skill sets. So it just kind of points the direction of what where they're
and
going.
To that point, you know, Washington said we're going to let Gibson go, even though Gibson's caught 40 plus passes 3 years in a row. And we're just going to sign Austin Eckler to replace him.
Yep.
You know, similar kind of, you know, probably more of a multi-threat. Gibson had one really good year as a runner. He had 1,000 yards.
Not good last year.
He had career lows in attempts, yards, and touchdowns last year as a runner. But career highs in receptions and yards, receiving yards. So
Eckler's a little bit more of a swing. Like, he's, you know, he's got a major injury. But if you hit on him and he stays healthy, then it's a better move. But there are, you know, there are some complications.
Yeah. The one thing I like about Gibson is, obviously, besides the skill set, is the fact that he's only 25 years old. I think some of these other running backs that did get moved were a little bit more expensive and also a little bit older, or at least had more touches under their belt where they are going to get, you know, grinded down a little bit more. But I think the running back market is interesting because all of this to me connects to draft classes, and the running back draft class is not very good at the top. So a lot of these teams are moving on these big name running backs in this class of free agents, whereas last year none of these guys could get long term deals. So now they're all signing for multiple years. I think wide receiver is the opposite, where Calvin Ridley can't get the deal he wants, because I think a lot of teams look at it and say, we could sign Calvin Ridley for $18 million a year, or we could draft Ladd McConkey in the second round and probably get a similar player as Calvin Ridley. Yeah. So
they get a big pat in the back from Fred Kirsch.
You could use whatever. I mean, there's 15 of them, so you could use whatever example at receiver that you want. I think this wide receiver market's learning that it's going to be tough for these guys to get top of market money when this receiver class is so stacked. So I think it works both ways.
Yeah, I think for the Patriots too, though, Ridley would make sense to me because they don't want to have to find that guy in the first two rounds. Like, I mean, I'm sure that they could, to your point, but to be able to focus on quarterback and not missing out on this tackle class, and then you can maybe take a swing in the third round. But those guys are, you know, there's going to be some questions about guys in the third round. So I think, you know, for the Patriots to maybe overextend a little bit and take Ridley, you know, you have a proven NFL, you know, performer. Is he that number one? Maybe just below that, but
you want to have a foundation for the rookie quarterback of some proven NFL commodities.
Yeah.
You can't have him step into an offense where you're expecting a rookie and then two rookie receivers to all of a sudden blossom in year one together. You have to have some sort of veteran competence that he's going to step in and he's going to have Ridley, he's going to have Kendrick Bourne, he's going to have Hunter Henry, and then you hope that Jalen Polk turns into a great player.
Yeah.
You hope that Xavier Leggett turns into a great player, but you can't bank on that receiver being great day one.
Is the tackle class deep enough where you could wait till the third round?
I mean, there would be guys, but I think that it's not going to be this guy should be starting by middle of the season. Kind of, you know, I think that's probably where you're getting at, and you know, in the middle of the second round. But even then, it's hard. I mean, everything's kind of jockeying right now with, you know, who's going where and mock drafts and all that. So it's hard to know what to believe is
because certainly
real or
the
not.
Wide receiver class is deep enough for the second round, right?
Yeah, I think it's deep enough through the entire top 100.
Yeah,
like I think that, you know, if you took a receiver, now they also have 104 in the fourth round, so that's kind of a top 100 pick too. If you took the receivers in the third and fourth rounds, those two guys are probably going to be guys that would have been higher picks in other years. So I think you're going to really get at 68, especially a guy that could come in and make an instant impact at that spot. Whereas at tackle, after the Patrick Paul, Kingsley Suamaitai, that sort of tier,
Jordan Morgan,
it drops off pretty significantly to like the Blake Fishers and the kid from Yale and, you know, those types of players.
Yep.
I'm not going to try to pronounce the Yale kids.
Yeah, Chris upstairs, Cassie was trying to pronounce it earlier, and I was like, I got
it.
Nothing for you, dude.
Kid from Yale.
The kid from Yale.
What do we think of the Kirk Cousins deal?
Kirk Cousins, how much money has he made?
It's close to $500 million.
He absolutely destroyed the NFL.
Right?
First ballot Hall of Famer in contract negotiations.
Him and
but,
Revis.
I think it's an incredible move for Atlanta. I think it's a great move, great signing.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some good young weapons, you know, with Drake London and, you know, Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. And, I mean, there's some pieces in place there. But
take a shot.
I think the question with Kirk Cousins is we've seen him with talent around him before. It's, you know, can he win the big games? Can he get over the hump? And I mean, I think it's a favorable setting, though, down in the AFC South with, you know, Baker Mayfield and, you know, all those things. I mean, certainly Houston looks like, or I'm sorry, the AFC. But, you know, in the NFC, I think that it's wide open down there. So it's, I mean, I think what Paul said, they could run the show down there if they're smart about it.
And, you know, people are saying that they knew that the Patriots were going to sign Jacoby Brissett. But was there some interest in Baker Mayfield?
I don't know.
Well, he never got to market, so yeah. It's tough to say.
No, I know, yeah.
I think there would have been if he was at Monday at noon, he was a free agent. I think that there would have been, but not at that number. They're not paying him that kind of money.
But isn't the deal kind of structured strange?
It's a two-year deal. It was announced as a three-year deal. It's really like a two-year, $60 million contract.
But also, I feel like if you went after Baker, like, he's going to want to be the starter. He's not going to want to be a mentor, leader, help the rookie, and then hand it over to him. I think.
Oh, no, Baker's, he's your quarterback if you sign Baker.
And then, you know, Fred, back to your thing about Brissett. If they did sign Baker Mayfield, then I'm not guaranteeing they'll take a quarterback.
I agree.
But with Brissett, it's different.
Yep, I agree.
You know, I would never say 100% because I've been wrong too many times to do that. But it's pretty close.
That was the biggest, 9.9.
Like, the biggest thing, and I don't know if normal is the right word, but it just, or maybe common sense is the word. Like, that's what yesterday felt to me. Like, all right, you have, you know, and everybody was like, oh, 4-13 team, just run it back. But the guys that they re-signed were guys that have performed well. Like, mm-hmm. Hunter Henry, I mean, there were just no other options. Kendrick Bourne is a depreciated asset.
You like Kendrick Bourne a lot more than
I think it's a worthwhile deal. You know, I think it's a worthwhile deal off a guy who's got a good personality. You're not, I mean, what is it, $4 million guaranteed? It's not, you know, you're not burning money.
If he ends up being your fourth receiver, I'm fine
And that's what. And that's the role.
Right. That's totally different.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The role for me.
So you have to have a fourth receiver. They just signed one.
I think
what is he today?
It doesn't matter what he is today.
Okay,
because we're not playing today.
I think he's
today.
The third receiver right now, or I mean, really kind of the second.
Who's
I mean,
one?
He's the other outside. No, I don't know. That's going to be whoever replaces Devontae
Parker.
Well,
but I'm asking who's today.
Right now, it's probably Kendrick Bourne.
Kendrick Bourne is one.
Yeah, I know, but we're not playing
today.
So
you need to add three receivers to get value.
Okay.
Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, I would say two.
Two.
And you'll add at least one, and then you'll get
one
in the draft.
I think Pop Douglas is ahead of him.
Yep.
You think Pop Douglas is a better player than Kendrick Bourne?
Yes.
No. Well,
I think he has more upside.
Then I really don't like this signing.
Oh, no, boy. I think they're different players. I think
well, they
Pop
are
Douglas,
different players.
Pop Douglas is going to be a little slot who, you know, you bring on third and long or whatever. I don't know. I think that they're gonna hopefully get a number one, and then, you know, they get Calvin Ridley, and we can debate about number one. But
we're gonna have what like six receivers on the roster, probably
five or six.
Yeah.
Oh
that,
yeah.
That
well,
makes,
and then you got
and Kendrick Bourne is one of them.
I mean, you got Kayshawn Booty with some kind of legal matters hanging over his head.
But
gambling.
You don't see the difference there.
No, if he's the only if everyone
like if
everyone,
Mike and
Paul,
Evan are right and they get Calvin Ridley and draft a guy in the second round, I'm in. I'm all on board.
Paul, yeah. I agree. If Kendrick Bourne is the best receiver on your roster, we're in big trouble.
Yeah. Right, but that's what he is today.
Yeah.
But it's March.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't need.
We can't.
We'll
we can't draft.
I don't need to invest money into my fourth receiver.
Okay.
Is my point. I don't love the.
Well,
signing.
You have to pay the fourth receiver.
Not that.
It's not that much money.
But I think this is a
all
player.
All of a sudden, he's worried about
guy,
money.
Well, this is a guy.
I've always been worried about money.
Except the
cap. I've never been worried about the cap. There's a difference.
Okay. But it's not your money, so don't worry about it.
But it is theirs, and they stopped spending it at some point.
Okay. If they
I don't really. This is not a very difficult concept.
If they are happy or satisfied or content or willing to settle with Bourne as their number one receiver, then let's start over.
But again, this guy
you
was on pace for 80 catches and like 8 touchdowns. I mean, he's coming out. He was on a pace for a
he's
career
fine.
Year.
I'm perfectly
and
happy.
It's, no, it's,
Paul is like, no. really
I'm not,
worried.
Listen, I'm
that,
not,
that's it.
No.
We spent the money on Bourne. We can't spend any more on wide receiver.
You can't, well, you can't say
I know,
you're weaponizing
the offense.
That's
never happened before.
Not
you
with
can't
this regime,
say that.
Because we've never seen this regime.
It's not their money to spend. Yeah. As you taught me very well 20 years ago.
Well,
it's not their decision to make.
I would be very surprised if we go into the 2024 season with Kendrick Bourne as WR1.
I do not have a problem with the money they gave Kendrick Bourne. That's not an exorbitant contract. What I'm worried about is them not being able to get the guys they want to slide him down the depth chart.
Okay.
If they do, then I don't understand why he's here. If they get a Ridley and Worthy, give me a late first, second round.
Oh.
Xavier Worthy?
Sure.
Okay. then I don't really need Kendrick Bourne on my roster.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Quality
you
depth.
Do.
Quality
you do.
Depth.
That's fine. I don't.
Yeah.
Because I'm fine going with a guy like Ridley or, you know, let's get Tamara's knock out of the park, T. Higgins.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that with Douglas as the slot guy, you know, three. I don't need like $8 or $9 million guaranteed for Kendrick Bourne then. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. That one was a little strange to me, especially coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah,
Generally, receivers don't get better coming off torn ACLs.
I do agree that in terms of that room in particular on the offensive side of the ball needs a significant overhaul. And what you're doing is you're eating up snaps more than anything. Like, I don't care about the money, but you don't want to get into a position where you're paying Kendrick Bourne a veteran salary, and now he's taking snaps from a Xavier Worthy because he, you know, you paid him as a guy that's going to be a top three receiver for you. That is where I wonder where all these snaps are going, because they're releasing Devontae Parker according to reports tomorrow.
Yeah. Right.
Juju Smith-Schuster, I don't
they
know how
to get rid of him.
It's oh not. Gosh. It's way easier said than done. I don't know how they're just going to jettison Juju Smith-Schuster at this point. And so at that point, you have Bourne, you have Smith-Schuster. Like, you're starting to add up in terms of, like, who's going to play. You know, Pop Douglas is already going to be on the team. And then if you do sign a Calvin Ridley, you really only have opportunity for one other guy. So, that guy probably comes through the draft, and that's how you go forward. But I'm more worried about that than necessarily the money or anything like that.
And I just want to defend myself really slightly. I'm not up in arms about the Kendrick Bourne deal. Like, this is not one of those that I just don't understand. It was kind of unnecessary, but there's no real money here. I think it's a 3-year, $20 million contract.
Yeah, 19.
And only like half of that is, not even half of it is guaranteed.
It's 4.5.
So I saw eight. Someone wrote $8 million was guaranteed, but it's not a lot of money. What I worry about is that he remains one of your better receivers. That concerns me. If you can pull off what we're talking about, it will not be a concern to me. But then I would ask, well, why do you bother in the first place? To me, it represents insurance, and I'm worried about that they're going to need the insurance.
Yeah. That's a fair point, Paul, especially because I am going to bet that Kendrick's going to be better than Juju, especially from what we've seen.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And
he'll be better than Juju.
It's just like, for me, it's just like, the Juju thing irritates me more than anything else right now, because it's like he's getting paid all this money, the most money, and he's taking up snaps and not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
Like, what's the possibility that he's going to actually come out and be good this
unfortunately,
year?
Unfortunately, that ship has sailed. Like, they gave Juju the contract they gave him, and they're stuck with him for the time
being.
How
much more is the dead problem with him than it was with Parker?
Almost double.
Yeah. See, I mean, and I'm talking about money, not necessarily cap, but in that case, it's both.
If they just cut him outright, like they are planning reportedly again on doing with Devontae Parker, then it's going to be north of $11 million to just cut him outright. Now, if they can trade him, then that obviously lessens the blow to about half of that. I think it's about $5 or $6 million in dead cap. But I was surprised when somebody took Jonnu Smith off their hands last year. So maybe they can move him. I'm not saying that it's
impossible.
Send him
back to Mahomes. Mahomes likes
but it. But because his contract still has two more full years on it, it's a lot more money than Devontae Parker.
Plus, like, there's other dead wood. Like, it's Kayshon Boutte, which I had forgotten about his gambling.
Yeah, those guys
thing,
you can cut
I don't
for
know
nothing.
What's going to happen
about
there.
They also re-signed Rager. I don't think any
also
of these
can be cut for nothing.
I don't think any of these guys is guaranteed a roster spot. Yeah. You know, the Booties
Thornton.
And the Ragers. Thornton's still here. Like, again, to Fred's point, you're going to have five or six receivers on the roster.
And you're going to have 10 in camp.
Which ones of these guys go? But you don't have, like,
you've
veteran
already got
receivers
eight.
Coming in as camp
no,
bodies.
No, I'm just
in
saying,
camp.
But you know, like, Booty's a camp body.
You've got, I mean,
right.
All right, so we got a little update from Adam Schefter here on Calvin Ridley.
Patriots?
New England is pushing to sign free agent wide receiver Calvin Ridley, but sources believe that he currently prefers to return to Jacksonville and has been discussing a deal with the Jaguars. So it sounds like the Patriots are offering him the most money, but he wants
to play with Mac.
He wants to play with Trevor Lawrence. Oh,
and he's probably... that's good, Mike. He's probably saying, just make it close.
Yeah.
Like, I want to stay here, just make it close. I don't know. I would feel a lot better about the depth chart if that happens. But, like, I don't think Kendrick Bourne is a camp body. I don't
no,
think
he's on the
know,
team.
I don't think though. I think there's more than that. And
He's on the team.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, not to mention T.J. Luther and Kawan Baker, too, who are on the roster as wide receivers.
Matter of fact, I didn't mention.
It's time to put your money where your mouth is. You said you were going to weaponize the offense.
Yeah.
So far, I have a third down running back.
Yep.
So go weaponize the offense. Like, that's what you told us you were going to do. And to Paul's point,
especially if you are going to draft that quarterback, let's go.
Yeah.
Kendrick Bourne is not weaponizing the offense.
Yeah.
And I do like
no argument there.
And I do like the idea, and it's probably an intangible. We have no idea how important it is, if at all. But I do like the message of re-signing a guy like Owenu, so Christian Barmore says, yeah, I can. They'll keep me.
Yep.
You know, Owenu reportedly got about $19 million a year. You know, it's like 38 guaranteed or something like that. So I like the idea of Christian Barmore saying, yeah, if I have another good off season here, I'm going to be in line to get an extension, but maybe even before the season starts, because they're not adverse to it. Now, the Patriots have re-signed a lot of guys over the years that people forget about.
Yes.
Like, I know this is like a new thing because Elliott Wolf is here now and everything that the old regime did was wrong. They haven't re-signed top 3 round picks in a long time, and still haven't, by the way.
Sixth round.
This is a sixth round pick. You know, people pointed to the free agent class of 21. Well, they re-signed Henry and they re-signed Bourne. You know, that's a sign that they're doing things. Well, they re-signed Godshaw last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not new stuff. You know, they actually re-signed Mills, believe it or not.
Yeah.
He's still around. What's his
free
status?
Agent.
He's
free
a free agent.
Agent.
Let's see. Brett in Bologna, Italy, says, Paul needs a new shtick. Cap versus real money. We get it. We got it. Bourne is a good signing, period. Let's move on.
It could be.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. It's worth the conversation, I think.
If he's better than I think he is, and he's like a number two receiver, yeah, be a really good, really good signing.
When Fred said the fourth receiver, like that's kind of what I'm imagining.
I have no interest in a fourth receiver giving him that money.
I think he'll be the third receiver. I just, it depends on what goes around him in terms of skill sets. You know, I think that's the one thing about Calvin Ridley is I want Calvin Ridley playing off the ball. I don't want him playing at the X like he did last year in Jacksonville because he's a smaller guy. I want to, you know, use his best skill sets. And that's a little bit redundant with Kendrick Bourne.
Yep.
So at that point, he probably is the fourth receiver on the depth chart.
And if they think he's better, this is a great contract.
Shoddy from Houston says, I don't understand the optimism in people saying the Patriots are killing it. All offseason, we heard how the mean old man they fired drafted poorly and neglected the offense. Suddenly, re-signing Henry, Bourne, Onwenu, and Brissett, two players Bill drafted and two he signed on offense, is a great offseason. A 29-year-old wide receiver three coming off a torn ACL getting a 3-year deal is outrageous. Would have been killed for it.
Oh, stop.
Well, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's why if he's better than I think he is, it's a really good contract.
And that's why I said at the top of this whole thing, like, there is work to be done. I just think when you need to rebuild a franchise, you're not going to go out and do it day one of free agency and get all these new guys. Like, would you rather, oh, we got rid of Hunter Henry, but now we got Gerald Everett. Like, would that be better for everybody?
I want to read this next email and then talk about how much you think.
Before you read that, can I just, my one last thing with Bourne. Like, so you're absolutely right, Mike, what you just said about the first day of free agency, they're not going to go out and do it. Do you think they could have signed Kendrick Bourne to this deal, say, in a week or a week and a half?
Probably, but he might have been really in demand because of that.
Absolutely. This deal would have been had if you waited 2 weeks to see what you get and then say, okay, you know, Kendrick, we're going to have you come back.
Yeah.
I just don't know if the order of operations necessarily matters, though.
Like, well, it doesn't if you guys are right.
Yeah.
If they do what you guys say they're going to do, the order of operations is completely irrelevant, and it's a typical Paul worrying about things that haven't happened yet. I do that a lot.
I think it could have been more so like, hey, let's worry about the things in-house that we want to, prioritize, and then we'll go outside.
Yep.
Yeah. I also just to the emailer, were they supposed to have a whole new 53-man roster? Because every single player that is here currently that was here last year was picked by Bill Belichick. So in order to do something differently, they would have literally had to have cut everybody and started from scratch. And then,
four new guys.
I mean, they did get rid of Chris Board. Okay, that I think that's
that's a tough loss.
you got rid of the starting quarterback that we were supposed to rebuild around. I mean, I think they have made some changes, but I just I would say generally, and Paul, I think that's a great conversation. I hear all your points you're making,
and I hear you guys too.
I think those are good. But I would just say on the surface level of these guys, guys all perform pretty well. I like all of them. I like them coming back. I don't know how talented but
so let me read this email. This is from Dan in Virginia and Michigan. Patriots seem to be bringing back or keeping guys that will be good for the locker room. If that assessment is accurate, is that because it's in keeping with Mayo's vibe or because of all the division and disruption in recent years or both, or is it just who was available? I think it's not – don't dismiss that because I think Gerard talked about mending fences, building bridges. He's got work to do in the locker room. And does he need those circle-the-wagon guys like every coach talks about?
That's kind of hypocritical.
Why?
You're talking about how bad the locker room was last year, so what are we going to do to fix it? We're going to keep the guys that were in the locker room last year.
But there's certain guys.
Like Hunter Henry was considered one of the gang of five with Mac Jones.
Right.
And now we're retaining him.
And guess who's gone?
Not Hunter Henry.
Mac Jones.
So I will.
Do you get it?
No.
Okay, I will say to add on what you said, Fred, I think that there was a notable difference in that locker room when Kendrick Bourne got hurt and he wasn't in there anymore.
Like and Judon, too.
And Judon.
Yeah.
When both of them left to go get their surgeries and start rehab, there was a noticeable difference in that locker room.
Yeah.
So having him back is going to be a bright spot.
I just think
but he was considered the opposite.
But Kendrick.
But maybe he was right.
Oh, I think.
Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they weren't treating Mac correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Big Mike is part of this equation that, like, he's a better locker room guy than we know about. You know, I don't know, but I'm just saying don't dismiss who he's signing in terms of I need that foundational locker room culture just like I need, you know, the pieces on the roster.
Especially if you're going to have a rookie quarterback who you can't expect to be the captain and the leader day one.
Yeah.
There was just no –
like, if I sign all these new guys, I don't know what I'm going to get in the locker room. At least
Fred,
I know what these guys –
I want to go back and say I don't have any problem with the re-signing of Henry, Bourne, ONU, and all three of those guys. I'll throw Duggar into that too, even though he didn't really re-sign.
Yeah,
he's going to be here.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think it sends a good message in all of that stuff. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying don't give me they had a bad locker room last year, and that's why they re-signed all these guys that were in the bad locker room.
Yeah.
Like, well, that doesn't make sense to me.
I think some
problem with re-signing these guys.
I think some of the guys that were part of the bad locker room are not here. But I also just think this team had no core. This team had no identity. You didn't really know who they're building around. There was nobody. There was no tight ends on the roster. You know, Matthew Slater retired. You have Juwan Bentley. You have Dietrich Wise. They're fine. But you like you said, Fred, they're not perfect, but these are the guys that you feel like I'm okay to build around these guys. And I know they were part of a team that wasn't great, but those guys were productive. Hunter Henry was the only red zone threat they've had the last three seasons.
And let's go back. You know, so now these guys are signed, you know, and the signal that it sends to the other players. Oh, they re-signed Big Mike. They re-signed Hunter Henry. You know, so these guys are going to come in, I hope, with a good attitude. And now they're the veterans, and I hope, and I'm sure Mayo agrees, he hopes that good attitude, that positive, you know, mindset will permeate to the other new guys.
Owenu is that guy.
Yeah.
Owenu's that guy. I mean, that's the only guy that signed for any significant money. Henry re-signed for one reason and one reason only. They have no options. They have no tight ends.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean,
like, if they had like a young tight end on the roster in year three, Henry wouldn't have re-signed.
Which they
should have. Owenu, Duggar, Barmore, Christian Gonzalez. Like, those are guys that are your core guys right now. And you're hoping that the quarterback is going to be one also in a year. But Henry is exactly what Paul said. They had no other options. Like, you have to have a tight end.
But he had probably options. I mean,
maybe.
But they made sure that he didn't. That's why he signed so early.
Yeah.
He signed before even the tampering period started.
But again, I mean, like, if you're Henry, it's like, oh, okay, they want me. Like, they're human beings. So I think that means something. Like, wow, they made me an offer really fast. They want me.
I know.
So
I know.
Come in and like, I'm telling you, don't dismiss that whole locker room culture thing and Mayo's need to have guys that are going to buy into his, you know, system.
Yeah.
It's important. Yeah. I mean,
Derek.
Yeah, I just don't know if he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Based on reports, not me.
Who
not
are we talking
not
about
anything
now?
I'm reporting. Henry. I don't know which side of that fence he's on. Based on a lot of reports.
He's a nice kid.
Competitive guy.
Dan also says, following up from...
Not from me. I'm just telling you stuff that I've read.
Following up from last week's shows, if the Patriots draft J.J. McCarthy, I will go full Eric and unleash a harumph of atomic proportions. Just say nay to JJ.
I'm with them.
Nay. Derrick Henry to the Ravens was what we were kind of weird. Know, intimating.
That's a weird one to me.
That's that has Mike all hot and bothered. Yeah. He loves him sometimes.
I was laughing thinking about though the jokes that would have been had if he came here and what you know.
Oh, I would have loved that. Are you kidding me?
I would have loved it, Fred.
Here's a different story. Baltimore, it's a weird fit.
Why?
You think so?
Because of the style of runner,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, because they play out of the gun and out of the pistol, and like he's a downhill lineup 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
But he can also catch the ball.
No. I mean, like, he's not going to start from a running start now. He's going to start next to Lamar Jackson, yeah. And he's 250 pounds.
Listen,
like,
I give Jim Harbaugh, or John Harbaugh, I should say, all the credit in the world for being flexible on offense. We know what he did when he – like, how hard would it be to install something for Derrick Henry? I mean –
I just when you have a quarterback like Lamar, and like we'll talk about this with Jaden Daniels if they draft him, if you put him under center, you're taking his superpower away because now his ability to run is not a threat
right.
to the defense.
On that particular play.
Yeah, but you're not going to do that. You don't want to do that 25 times a game.
Right. No, but you're down by the goal line. You're in the red zone.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of money for that.
Okay.
Do you know ballpark how much they put
it's
him under center?
It's up to 20 like, million. That's never, not a lot of money.
So they've done it more recently because they don't want him taking the body blows of running all the time. But when you got to have it, I mean, they're talking you know, Super Bowl.
But didn't the Ravens have trouble in the red zone last year?
I don't know. I would have to look up the numbers.
I thought that was one of
that I'm aware of, but maybe.
I thought that was one of the things. But anyway, if
but I would just say that the bigger issue to me with the stuff that Evan's talking about is how predictable it makes you. Like if you're going to do what you said, Fred, and change it and have
right.
have him on, so now you're telling everybody Lamar's not running. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Derrick Henry running.
Right? Yeah.
That's what you're looking to avoid.
Even if he gives the ball,
talk to Josh about that all the time.
Even if he gives the ball every single time, just Lamar's gravity of I could keep it.
He keeps the edge. He does all that stuff.
What happened to play action? So you put him back there, you fake, and he boots or he throws. I mean, there's still options under center to keep the ball with Lamar.
Yes, but
trends. No, that's true.
Trends are trends for a reason, Fred. When a guy's under center and they run X amount of time, you're going to get beat on it every once in a while. But more often than not, you're going to know what's coming.
Yeah.
Just like the whole thing with Jakob Johnson had to go because they were so predictable when he was on the field.
Oh. Lamar brought back the pistol.
I give more credit to offensive coordinators to know what you're saying and be able to
figure. My bigger concern with Derrick Henry is does he have anything left?
Yeah.
Now, he finished the last season pretty strong with Tennessee. Like one of the best games he had all year was the last game. He basically knocked Jacksonville out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he still has enough in him to do it, but that's the way Baltimore wants to play. They're gonna run the ball and be physical. He certainly, like Fred said, he certainly should help in the red zone and do those kinds of things.
Calvin in Connecticut writes in, does Marcus Mariota to Washington tip their hand at all to who they are drafting at second with number two? Playing style related more to either quarterback, Daniels.
Yeah.
I don't think that much. No. I think both of those guys run. And like Marcus Mariota in his prime was obviously a great runner, but I would say that I wouldn't look too much into it.
He also wants to know, would you give up the second round pick and pay T. Higgins? So would you give up a second for T. Higgins?
I would, but I don't think they would. Like, I would rather do that than give Kendrick Bourne 3 years and $19.5 million.
Well, why can't you do both?
You could. I just don't think they would.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
Right. And that we're back to my concern.
I would like to think that this regime does not think that way. I would agree with you that Bill would think that way.
I would like to think the regime had a say. I'm not sure it does. With that kind of stuff. I'm talking about
just leave that right there.
I'm talking about like $100 million contracts. That's all 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just a coach's decision. You know what? We got to do this because I said so. No team does that. All 32 teams, you can't make that kind of a signing without, you know, getting it signed off on.
Tim writes in, I'm okay. He says, okay, I'm now reading that Calvin Ridley prefers Jacksonville over New England. Is it panic time yet? Sure seems like Elliott Wolf, or should I say Robert Kraft, doesn't want to spend money. Hopefully I'm wrong and we're about to trade for T. Higgins, but I'm starting to get concerned.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it has to do with money. I would say I would want to stay with, you know, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you know what you've got in a quarterback, and also I'm sure the weather is a lot better than here. And here, you don't know what this quarterback situation is going to be. I mean, maybe it's not all about money for him. Maybe he wants to make sure he has a good career, great location, and money.
Yeah.
I mean, they have given out about $80 million guaranteed so far, so take it for what it's worth.
No, I think Tamara nailed it. I think it's a better situation in Jacksonville. They have a quarterback. They have a team that was in the playoffs 2 years ago. It's just a better team than what the Patriots currently have.
Alex in Mount Holly, I'm in the same boat with Paul, where I would have not signed Bourne, even if he's the best skill player outside of Stevenson the last few seasons. I just would have liked to have been more aggressive in trying to sign Ridley, even though it sounds like he wants to stay in Jacksonville. But if we didn't re-sign Bourne and Rager while also letting Parker go, I just feel like it would have put the team in a different position to give Ridley a contract he couldn't refuse. Still would like to see some weapons added through free agency and trade, so I'm not losing hope. But I feel like now the best route is turning to a young wide receiver like Polk and Burton in the draft to fill out the wide receiver room.
I mean, ultimately, that's the answer. And I mean, I think that's where we're headed. And when I, you know, was writing about the guys, it's, you know, it's a little flavor of draft, develop, retain. That's, you know, kind of what they're starting to get that cycle going again. They fell off of it. And again, even though there's some guys with some warts, like, you know, they're trying to make an effort.
I'm all for that with the draft and develop. These, like, the Henrys and the Bournes aren't draft and develops.
But, and when you get in a three-year deal, you know, it's
when you and Duggar are, you know, are draft and develop.
And we'll see with Duggar. But, you know, it's just baby
and
steps.
I think Barmore down the road.
I do it tomorrow. But, you know, it's not franchise tag Joe Tooney and let him walk. You know, the franchise, I mean, people talked about franchising and when you and do making those same kind of mistakes. It's, you know, everything that you guys said about, you know, the message, and it's baby steps, because let's face it, they don't have a lot of those players that are still around that they drafted that are worth it.
Right.
Okay. Should we try a phone call?
Let's strap in. Everything seems to be working fine. I don't know how.
I can hear you guys now.
It feels like normal show now.
Now we're back. New board thing.
New phone. Who dis?
Todd's in North Carolina. What's up, Todd?
I know that's a
problem. Hey, this is a paid press announcement. The people in the booth are doing a great job.
That doesn't sound good.
It's a little.
As requested by the people in the booth.
Okay.
My question for you guys.
Make it quick.
Is Juju still on the roster?
Yes.
And do you think he still will be on the roster at the start of the new year?
Yes.
No? Really? What could he bring if he's still on the roster?
You think he's going to be gone tomorrow?
Juju? I thought he said the start of the season.
Oh, yeah. I thought he said the new year.
The new year.
That's not the
you
problem.
Mean like, oh, you mean tomorrow? I think, yes, he'll be on the roster tomorrow. I would say by the time September rolls around.
Season?
I thought he said
the
new year.
Will he be on the roster for the season?
For the season.
So you were right, Mike. I was wrong.
I'm going to say no.
Thanks, Todd.
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no.
Who's going to take him off your hands? Like I think
you just might have to eat it and call it a day.
Oh, you can't do that. It's too much money.
It's going to be equivalent to him being out there anyway. He's not
going
to do anything.
But you don't even have to play him. Like I just feel like if you have this amount of cap space, that's the only advantage that you have right now is that you have cap space. And if you start eating up too much of the cap space and dead money, then you've lost your one advantage. Like, who, you know, if you want to sign Calvin Ridley in a tackle, and you have a $12 million dead cap hit on Juju and a $6 million dead cap hit on Devontae Parker, like, these are the things that Paul talks about in terms of real cash spending. Like, you don't have any more real cash to spend at that point on other players. And they trap themselves into these two contracts. It's their own doing.
It just sucks, though. Is it you're just saying you're just going to sit a guy on the bench because you don't
want
to pay to
cut him? I don't think he would sit on the bench.
You would just play him subpar.
Unless you guys are right, and we got the fireworks coming.
I just think you have a chance, though. And I mean, look, I'm not going to get into the math, but like, you're a new regime. This is a terrible contract on a player who I have never seen it for a single second out there.
Nope.
You got to dump him.
Like,
what are you supposed to do? Like, yeah. you, if it was your guy and you're the one who re-signed him, and maybe there is somebody still here that it was his guy, so maybe that's a factor too. But
No.
It's just hard to say.
Nobody's still here is responsible. He was a bad player last
maybe
year.
Maybe he can work for the
social
media.
Nobody still here was responsible for
you're
that.
You're hilarious.
If it's funny, like, I saw somebody.
You're a TikTok guy.
He seems to have given up TikTok since he got here.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
Okay. That'll be back.
If you can Jonnu Smith, Juju Smith-Schuster, and somebody will take him off your hands, I am all for it.
What's the dead cap for that?
If they trade him,
yeah.
It's like half.
Half?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Fred. I would bite the bullet and do it, but I understand Evan's points.
Cole writes in, he's in Denver. Mac is gone. Jacoby is the veteran mentor and game manager the team needs for a rookie quarterback. I now implore you to stop pretending we don't know what the Patriots are doing at number three. Patriots will do what Mayo said on the first day he was hired. They will draft whichever quarterback is there, May or Daniels. How long will the media pretend the number three pick is a mystery to get more clicks? It's irresponsible. It creates a false expectation for fans. It sets people up for disappointment.
This isn't a real email,
is
it?
Like,
I don't know.
Somebody from alternate reality.
I don't know. It sets people up for disappointment when the Patriots don't draft Marvin Harrison Jr. or don't trade back. Mayo told you in January exactly what the Patriots would do. Don't forget it. If you want to speculate, speculate about the second rounder.
Who is speculating about them not taking a quarterback?
Stop the charade.
To be fair, Fred did say that it wasn't a guarantee that they're going to take a quarterback.
And he asked that. He started the show by asking that.
Right.
And what did we all say?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you asked the question. Do you think it's
right? Is it a guarantee, now?
And Evan went yes. Mike went yes. Paul went yes. Like, who's
right?
I'm just saying.
Who are you arguing against?
Go to last week's show. What are Mayor Daniels? I'm fine with either one. Make that pick. Either one is worth missing on. So I think you're right.
Like, the uncertainty is which quarterback they're going to have.
Which one's left?
I don't think there are a lot of people who do not think they're taking a quarterback at three.
No. Not.
I'm not telling you nobody.
There's a lot of Marvin Harrison Jr. people. I wouldn't say among the media necessarily, but on Paul's shows, I hear them call in all the time about Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, but he's making fun of the media for being clickbait. And I don't think there's a lot of that going on. Now, I'm not telling you that Joe and Walpole doesn't think that they should take Marvin Harrison, but like, he's not trying to get people to click on his story. Saying that.
Rick in Dallas wants to know, should the Patriots have tried to trade for Jerry Jeudy?
I'm not a huge Jerry Jeudy guy.
What was Mark Schlereth's thing? Did anybody see that? I kind of clicked by it, but he seemed happy that they got rid of him, and I didn't ever see why.
He's had some attitude issues in Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have taken a shot based on it cost them nothing, but I'm not a huge Jerry Jeudy guy.
I
don't think the production has been there since he's been in the league.
Really. Yeah, I am, but last year, and like, it's a precipitous drop off. He keeps on not producing year in and year out, struggling to stay on the field. At some point, the first round talent that I'm in love with, you have to look at it and be like, he's just not that player. He just didn't live up to it.
You mean wide receivers don't always work out in the first round?
That one might be one of the only misses in the first round in the last like four or 5 years.
Rusty,
Kevin White,
kill
Harry.
Kevin White at number seven.
Kevin White was a long time ago now.
Yeah. Rusty and Arlen has some questions about the Brissett signing.
Okay.
He's a little bit confused. He says, I just wanted to give a little stat comparison on Brissett because I genuinely don't understand it. I probably never will understand the value. He's talking in comparison to Zappe. Bill got rid of him after year one for Dorsett. I have to say that one catch against the Jags is more than anything Brissett has ever done. Zappe this season was good for 212 passing yards per game and had 6 touchdowns, 6 starts, 9 interceptions, 6 yards per average throw. Veteran QB Brissett, who definitely is adding something, in his last 16 starts between the Dolphins and Browns, about 240 yards a game, blah, 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 blah. Please tell me what he does here without relying on phrases like veteran presence.
That's what he does here.
But that's why he's here.
I remember hearing that with Hoyer, and it didn't seem to do much for Mac. Congrats. He might be marginally better than Zappe. Is there a better gig in football than being the veteran backup?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. But you're dismissing the reason he's here.
He's literally here for the reason why you don't want us to talk about why he's here. So
he's not that much better than Zappe. He's not.
He is more of an NFL body type. And like, he's got a bigger arm and he's a bigger guy and, you know, those types of things. But he's here because he's a veteran presence that has been lauded as a teammate.
And the emailer is dismissing, and I'm not telling you wrong for dismissing that, but I think that's why he's here.
Yeah, and
I think that's why they chose him individually.
And to everyone's point that tips the Patriots' hands about what they're doing now, yeah, it does, because they need that veteran guy in the locker room if you're going to bring in a quarterback at number three.
Right. It's not because they want Brissett to play if Drake May isn't ready in week one, per se. They want Brissett to be there for Drake May.
Yeah.
Whereas Bailey Zappe, you could say, like, well, he could just play for week one. But Bailey Zappe wants to play. And this is no slight on Bailey Zappe.
I can't believe we're defending Bailey Zappe.
He should want to play.
Right, he's still young.
He's entering his third year. He's trying to find, like, he's looking for the opportunity that Brissett has already had.
Yeah.
Brissett has started 50 or 60 games in the league. Whatever it is. He's been poor in those starts.
Yeah.
But Zappi's looking for that opportunity that he's never really gotten.
And Brissett's the perfect veteran because forget about the money. If you bring in Baker from Mayfield, it's the same thing. He's going to want to play.
Well, that's a whole different argument.
I'm not here to help Drake May. I'm here to just play.
But he's the starter. If you bring him in, he's the starter.
Well,
but I'm just saying that in terms of a veteran, Brissett's kind of perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, for this situation.
No, he's non-threatening.
I mean, Russell Wilson
wouldn't have been that.
Oh, yeah. He would.
You know, Justin Fields is not that. Those guys want to play.
Right. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break, a real break, and we'll be right back. Oh, you know what? I haven't been doing any reads. I got to do reads. I'm sorry. Hey, Patriots fans, if you want to see Toyota's best offers, including those not seen on TV, go to buyatoyota.com. It's Toyota's official website for deals from the official vehicle of the New England Patriots. Toyota, let's get a new soundboard. And one more, whether you're in the game or betting on the game, you'll need a game plan. DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the New England Patriots, provides you with everything you need to build your personal betting game plan so you can get in on all the action while practicing safe bets. Visit DraftKings.com/responsible-gaming to learn more about all the safe betting tools DraftKings has to offer. Hope is here, 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21+. Play it smart from the start, GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts, see DraftKings.com/responsible-gaming for details and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Phew. All right. Back here in Patriots Unfiltered. 855-PATS-500 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. I'm not hearing myself through. Oh, there we go. And now I'm back. Now okay. All right.
Good learning.
Matt's losing whatever hair he has left back there. Scott in Virginia writes in, I thought this was interesting. I read that if the Jaguars sign Ridley before the new league year tomorrow, that they would then owe the Falcons a second round pick.
Correct.
I feel like the longer we don't hear anything about Ridley, the more likely he is to re-signing with the Jags since they have to wait till tomorrow anyway. Do you guys have the same sentiment?
They don't have to wait till tomorrow, but that package is correct. That because of the agreement in the trade, if he signs a contract extension, essentially, with the Jaguars, then they would owe Atlanta. It becomes a second-round pick instead of, I think, whatever the compensation
was. So no matter what?
Correct.
Oh, so that's a non-factor then. Because Jacksonville's clearly negotiating with him.
Right, so I guess what he's saying is that if they let that contract expire when the league year starts tomorrow, then does it still count as an extension with Jacksonville versus if they sign it? I don't know.
I think it does
because you're not actually signing the contract today. You're just agreeing in principle to the frame. It's the same.
Right.
Or it's going to be at the same time period anyways. So
no, but like, is there a way that they could game it and just say, you know, we're going to, you know, yeah, we're agreeing, but we're not going to announce this until next week. If that gets them out of compensation,
well, they can't,
it seems like a loophole
but,
to me.
Right, but they can't sign the contract till tomorrow anyways. Like no matter.
I know, but instead of waiting until like right away, if you just wait a week or so, then, well, he was out there for anybody to sign, and we re-signed him. I don't know.
I
didn't know the stipulation about the second round pick, so
yeah.
I'm not up on all my Calvin Ridley minutia.
I am way too up on my
but I will take Calvin Ridley. I think it's going to happen. I think the Patriots are going to get him.
Another Calvin. This one's in Denver. I'm with the other person who wrote in from Denver. On the socials, a lot of people are thinking and taking the Jacoby signing as if he is the quarterback. And along with that, they are going to draft a wide receiver or tackle. I'm with you. All this signing does is show that they're most likely drafting a quarterback. Who on the socials are saying that he's the guy now?
Fans. That's what he's talking about on social media.
I know. That's fans. But I'm saying, like, who's doing that?
I haven't seen a single person.
I'm saying that incredulously.
I thought you were asking specifically.
No, I'm saying that rhetorically, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, my thing would be if that wasn't the case, then you wouldn't have signed him to a one-year deal. If you were signing Jacoby Brissett to be your quarterback, it would be longer than a one-year deal.
Question, how much stock do you all take into when the active player Judon – talking up one quarterback over others, i.e. Jaden Daniels. I didn't know he was doing that. Is that what he's doing?
He was on Good Morning Football, and I guess they're referring to what he was talking about.
Oh, okay,
on there.
Back then. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
I think a lot of those guys watch a lot of LSU.
Yep.
And probably don't watch a whole lot of North Carolina football, so or you know whatever they watch a lot of the big schools, and they got friends that went to those schools or went to that school. So I wouldn't look too much into. He's probably just seen more Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm. Rob in San Diego via Connecticut. Many of us have a player whom we admire or support despite the mediocre performance. For me, one of those players is Jacoby Brissett. I vividly recall watching him play as a Patriots starter against the Texans and being impressed by how he handled himself in such a crazy situation. His letter to fans when he moved on showed his character, and he has consistently done his job at various teams without drama. I've often joked about wanting a Brissett Patriots jersey, and now it seems like I'll have the opportunity to get one. Despite knowing he's not a superstar, I simply like him. Does anyone else in the crew have a similar affinity for a player who others might consider mediocre? That's a good question.
Hey, Matt Lacoste.
Tom Ashworth.
Yeah, it's not anymore, but maybe back before I started doing this, I guess maybe. I don't know.
I kind of had a soft spot for Ninkovich early on.
Yeah.
Before, like, you know.
Before he got good.
Before he got good, and then it was like, well, everybody loves Ninkovich, you know.
Yeah.
But, so Ninkovich would like a word. I think he's a little bit too good of a player to fit into this category.
No, I was really, taking my blog from just a Tumblr blog to like an actual blog when he made the team. And so you guys know I'm a defense guy. So it was all of a sudden this guy starting to come out of nowhere playing a lot. And, you know, and then he became a player who played every single down as a defensive end, and everybody loved him. So, but early on he was a blog favorite.
Yeah. I always like, you know, tend to kind of fall in love with a guy in camp that, you know, I say, oh, this guy's going to
Jeff Daniels
come out of nowhere, you know, yeah. and be the guy. And I'm always wrong about
the
those.
Miami kid.
I'm Thomas. Always wrong about those
Jeff
guys.
Thomas.
Jeff Thomas.
Jeff
Did I tell you that one?
Yeah.
Isn't that an actor?
Fred, it's amazing.
He was highly recruited.
It's amazing. He highly rated. Me.
Jeff Thomas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Oh, did Freddie have a little...
He didn't even make it in the spring league.
I know.
But he kept calling him Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Thomas. It really
Who's
is
Jeff
amazing
Daniels?
You haven't killed
that was,
him.
That was so, a Fredism.
Jeff Daniels is an actor.
He just kept calling him. I mean, this is Jeff Daniels. I'm like, who? Oh, Thomas.
Well, I don't remember that.
Jeff Daniels? No, doesn't ring a bell.
You don't know from Jeff
Daniels.
From what?
Jeff Daniels.
From where? Dumber?
The real
you don't
guy?
Know from
the real
him?
Actor?
Dumb like the actor?
No.
Never heard it. Like Dumb and Dumber?
Was he in the newsroom?
Speed,
yes.
Newsroom.
He was a star in the
Speed. I remember the newsroom.
Yeah.
And Speed. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's a very versatile actor.
Yeah. Very wide range.
Comedy, drama.
Mike's in Florida. He says, going back to the Schefter report, it seems to me as a negotiating tactic. Ridley's agent trying to strong-arm the Patriots into offering a few more dollars. Seems odd to report the Patriots are pushing, but his preference is to return to Jacksonville for less money with Kirk and Davis there. Wouldn't be shocked to see Kirk to Patriots by the end of the day.
Ridley to Patriots, Kirk, I think
Ridley,
is what
yeah,
I meant. But I agree.
I agree. Yeah.
And his agent, David Malagueta, is one of the best in the business. He's got a ton of big-name receiver clients in particular. Like, the entire top of the receiver free agent class is all David Malagueta clients.
I think I said about 20 minutes ago, I still think that they're going to end up getting Ridley, but I'm a little surprised that he's not getting as much interest as I thought he would.
Do you think it's because people see value more in drafting one of these guys in the draft? Since
probably.
It's such a strong draft class, they can get a good quality guy for way less money.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's a big part of it. But I just thought that as really the only one, someone would say, well, we like Kansas City.
Everybody.
You know, Evan said to me off air a little while ago, you know, sign a one-year deal with Kansas City.
Yeah.
And then really strike it rich next year after Mahomes, you know, does it all for you. I'm surprised that he hasn't gotten any real interest.
Do you think his league-wide. History has anything to do with it?
Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it does. And at this point in free agency, we're not at the free agency tours where guys go to meet with teams and stuff like that. So you're just throwing him a bag of money sight unseen a little bit. And I do think that is a factor.
Paul in Ohio. Love the show. I just want to give you my Marvin Harrison Jr. take as a lifelong Buckeye who's watched every snap he's taken in college and seen every spring game in person.
Biased.
I also emailed in during the 2019 draft, pounding the table for and arguing with Andy over Terry McLaurin. The Patriots would be the worst possible landing spot for MHJ. He's got all the physical tools, but he does not respond well to difficult circumstances. I'd go as far as calling him soft. If he goes to a team without a quality quarterback and other playmakers to take the heat off him, he will wilt. Been listening since 06. The show has never been better. Thank you for all the hard work.
I said to Matisse upstairs, I'm like, I don't even want to rule out neighbors. Like, that guy is explosive. I don't know. Every time I watch him, I'm just so intrigued. You know, not to say that whenever I see Marvin Harrison Jr., like, it isn't just, you know, he's just one of those guys that physically is so gifted that he kind of naturally dominates. But I don't know, guys like neighbors where he kind of work a little bit more for him. I mean, I know he's got elite speed, but there's just something really appealing to me about
that. Doesn't
neighbors.
Surprise me coming from an Ohio State fan, because over the years Marvin Harrison Jr. has tapped out of some big games because bumps and bruises, injuries, things like that, and that doesn't surprise me that that's the sentiment, but I wonder how much of that was, you know, until NIL, like, I'm not really getting paid to do this, right. and I have an NFL future, like, am I going to really push it in this Big Ten game when I have bigger things on my mind? I know Buckeyes fans don't want to hear that, but
Rodrigo says, I'm not sure about this email. He says, the Patriots are getting played. Jaguars and Ridley are working together to make sure Ridley signs after the season starts so they won't have to give up the second rounder.
So,
but how does that help Ridley?
How does that help
Jacksonville, right?
They don't have to give up the second round pick.
No, I know, but like, why do they even... Like,
if that's true.
Yeah, but they just wait to sign him then. I mean, how are we getting played?
Well, if you still think you have a chance to get him.
I know, but like, what's the benefit for Jacksonville to keep us on the hook?
There's no benefit to keep the Patriots on the hook.
Right. So how are we getting played?
If they still think they can get him and they really can't.
Yeah.
It's a hypothetical.
Yeah.
I don't know what the truth is. But I think you just had two emails in the last three emails that it's a great point counterpoint.
But
the Patriots are actually going to get him, and if he wanted to stay in Jacksonville, he would have just re-signed with Jacksonville. And it's clear he's getting more money, and he's trying to get Jacksonville to go up to what the Patriots are
offering. Okay, so strategically,
the other side of it is what this guy is saying. Actually, the Patriots are the ones that aren't going to get him because he wants to stay in Jacksonville. It's a done deal. They're just waiting for the league year so they don't have to give up this second-round pick. So I don't know which one of those is true, but that's your point counterpoint.
This technicality of when he signs, I don't know the answer to.
I wasn't even aware of it until 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, I was aware of it, but I don't know the answer. To me, it seems like they would have to give up the second-round pick either way. I don't know how the league would like go in a separate direction from that. That's the agreement of the trade.
But does the agreement of the trade, and I just learned about this 10 minutes
Day
ago.
Day one of the league year kind of thing.
Right. If he's on the roster on March 13th of 2024, you owe the Falcons a draft pick.
There's
got to be deadlines.
The term that
things,
I keep
right?
on hearing is extension. So extension would tell me that, if they wait till tomorrow – then the contract has expired,
right.
And it's no longer an extension. It's a new contract.
And that's why I'm wondering if they can get a loophole here.
Yeah. That would be a loophole. I don't
so
know
somewhere
if that's
Belichick
work,
is,
but
Belichick is smiling somewhere.
Sounds like the Falcons are the ones that are getting played.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have a question for you, Evan.
Well, yes, sir.
I have a question for you. I mean, what would you prefer right now in this draft, a second-round pick or Calvin Ridley?
Well, the Patriots aren't giving up the second-round
pick. No, I'm talking if you're Jacksonville.
Oh, probably Calvin Ridley for them, just because I think that they are trying to win.
Mm-hmm. They can have both. I think.
I don't know. The technicalities of we have to have somebody clarify that, you know, Tom Pelissero or Schefter or somebody.
Right. If they wait, they get Ridley and they keep their second round pick.
Right. I think.
Right.
Now, if not, I would rather have Calvin Ridley. He's a proven commodity.
Yeah. To me, that to me is a loophole, as Paul put it, that I don't.
It's complicated.
Sounds like a loophole to me that Atlanta would have.
That's going
to
be tricky to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Andrew from New Jersey. This round of signings just shows how much you need a franchise quarterback and how far we're fallen so quickly from a destination franchise. I've always said we should snag one of the draft's top three quarterbacks, May or Daniels, trading down for more picks. The smokescreen rumors that someone is pushing Elliott Wolf about trading down and stockpiling picks is ridiculous. Dalton Schultz sticking with Houston because of Stroud. Ridley staying put in the Jaguars because of Trevor Lawrence. Barkley probably wants to play with Hurts in Philly. No wonder nobody's putting New England on their top list for free agency. Without a standout quarterback, it's tough to draw in the big names, even with good money on the table.
Yeah.
I need to see what the money is. And I need to see what Ridley does. I'm not writing him off yet. I still think there's a chance the Patriots could sign him, right?
I agree, but I think their only draw is the money.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's the emailer's point, and I can't argue with.
But I want, but like what the emailer says, like even good money on the table, I want to see the money before I just assume it's good money.
No, he's not going to take $10 million less.
Evan, your alter ego is feeding into this. This is from James in Portsmouth, UK. He says, I just saw Alex Barth floated the idea on X that if the Jaguars wait until after the new league year starts to sign Ridley, they only have to give a third-round pick to Atlanta, not a second.
There you go. Maybe Barth
so
already went,
their
to,
feet.
Went down to it.
Do you think this could all be a smokescreen so they can give up less to keep him and he is always intending to go back there, making it official after 4 p.m. tomorrow?
Absolutely.
I do think it's a possibility.
Absolutely.
But again, I just want to reiterate,
there might be a loophole.
Did not know about this 10 minutes ago.
Come on, Paul.
Yeah, again,
you
not
know what?
I'm, more. I
we should have had a pre-show meeting.
No, in all seriousness, I can't stand.
Should have sent him the
when you listen to my shows. Was that well?
Yeah.
Did I do that right, Fred?
Yeah.
When I listen to my shows, and it's clear that someone calls in with something like that that they have no idea about. It doesn't happen a lot, but you can tell when they're just trying to fake it. I don't really know what this is about. I think the Patriots should really make a push for Mike Dussault. This kid, he's got a good, quick first, and you can clearly tell they don't know who the guy is that they're talking about. And they're, like, scrambling around trying to find, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Happens, like, NHL trade deadline a lot because nobody knows the NHL, like, frontwards and backwards. There's so many players. They all change teams.
That was Chucks for me. I was like, who? I mean, Evan knew who he was.
No. I'm a little disappointed in you in that, dude.
Okoraphor?
I can't get that name right yet.
Yeah, that was a perfect example. If we were on the show and someone called in and said, I think the Patriots should trade for Okoraphor or sign Okoraphor, I would have been like, I don't know who that is.
I guess I'm, just me.
You broke
but
it down.
I think it's my point, I guess, is it's so transparent when you don't know who it is and instead you say, yeah, I mean, I could see them doing a move like that. And then, you're clearly looking at your phone trying to.
I mean, says,
they need help on the offensive line.
Right?
You know, like you can tell when a guy doesn't know who a player
42
is.
Tackles.
I just
That's
wish
good.
That your show, Paul, your main show, was on yesterday when they signed Taki Taki because they would have been like, Taki who? And that would have been great.
Oh, yeah.
Like they have no idea who
they
it is.
They don't pretend a lot. They don't pretend a lot, those two.
They would have had fun with that name.
Because I think they wear it as wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
We're
not nerds.
Sorry.
I love that song.
Some of us are nerds. It's
okay. That song?
And you should wear that badge with honor
I
as
do.
Well.
I do.
David in Bethlehem says, I'm worried about May playing in the ACC week conference. Nixon, Oregon had stronger opponents. Agree or not? Well, maybe he did, but that doesn't mean he's a better quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when Nix played against strong competition, he sucked.
Yeah.
In the SEC.
Auburn.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
He was better in the Pac-12.
He was definitely
in
the better
Pac-12
in the Pac-12.
Was better
he's in
last
his early 30s
year.
But
now.
Still, nothing compared to the SEC.
I
would
do,
you say early 30s?
He's in his early 30s now.
You do see a lot.
He's matured.
His pro day today, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of the ex-quarterbacks that we love to talk about here are so much,
like
the Orlovskys, the Kurt Warners, those guys, they all really like Bo Nix. And I've decided that they all really like floor quarterbacks. Like, Bo Nix is one of those guys that is accurate, sees the things correctly, progressions correctly, throws the ball pretty accurately.
Exactly what we were told about Mac.
Like, he does all. Oh,
he's way more athletic.
Yeah, he's definitely
than
more
Mac.
Athletic.
A little bit, but he's more closer to Mac Jones than he is to Drake May. Let me put it to you that way. And that just seems to be who a lot of those guys, Chris Sims, they have Bo Nix really high. QB3, QB4, something like that.
That's crazy.
We've got a here in the Patriots up in the admin level, we've got a little sort of coven of Michigan people.
Cool.
And they're all
we do?
Pounding the table for J.J. McCarthy.
I think it's
who are these people?
I think it's down the street. Not street.
No, in the marketing area.
Yeah, not ours.
So
yeah,
I asked
Michigan
one of them.
I'm not allowed to.
I asked one of them, I said,
there.
Oh, so what does J.J. stand for? She couldn't tell me. I go, you're not really. You don't know.
Do you know?
I don't know the answer to that.
Sure. But I'm not pounding
John
the table
Jacob.
For J.J. McCarthy.
Is that what it is?
No idea.
Yeah.
Was it Coven? Were they like witches?
Coven.
Coven.
Coven?
Yeah.
Honestly, after McCorkle,
someone out there will get my
we
joke.
Just need
COVID.
A regular person.
Yeah.
American movie. Nah. Don't worry about it.
What are you babbling about over there?
I thought someone was making a
when
movie
when we're having
and I
a side conversation at a lower level, let us go. That's what makes us
but people
the world's
don't like
original
that.
Podcast.
When we talk over each other, people can't hear anything.
We're talking under each
one
other.
One at a time.
It's Jonathan James, by the way.
Jonathan James.
Oh, wow.
John James. Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the high floor quarterback.
No. I mean,
that's bonus.
I was sold on that with Mac.
I'm not surprised.
I'm ready for a high
Ball floor. Paul doesn't like try
I'm
hard
all,
guys.
I'm all set
no,
on
no,
that.
No, no, no. That's not a try hard guy. Yeah. No. A high floor guy is a guy who
has a high floor.
The worst he's going to be is serviceable.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Right.
I want the guy with the talent that he might be a train wreck, but the upside is. Patrick Mahomes.
That's the league now, right?
That's what I want.
I feel like we have, and this, I'm just speaking for myself, I guess. I feel like I have gotten to that point because of Mac.
Yeah.
Yep. Now in this draft, I have no interest in the Bo Nixes. Yep. I have no interest. I like Michael Penix for a lot of his intangibles, but I think he's in a similar boat where he played with a bunch of five-star receivers around him. His left tackle is going to get drafted in the first round. His right tackle is going to get drafted in the third round. All of his receivers are going top 100. It's just one of the same thing as what we heard at Alabama. And I think Penix is a better physical talent than Mac was. But him, Bo Nix, those types of players, I'd much rather take a swing on Daniels or Drake May and hope that it works out.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the New England Patriots. And also, wearing green for St. Patrick's Day, be sure to save some green, too. With Bob's Discount Furniture's full selection of trendy styles to spruce up every room, shop party-ready dining, super comfy sofas, and the latest outdoor furniture, all at can't-miss everyday low prices. Everyone's a lucky shopper at Bob's Discount Furniture, the official furniture store of the New England Patriots.
So, Fred, is the I know we're talking about maybe a little studio makeover, but is Bob's Discount Furniture studio for Paul going to get made over for preseason?
I don't know.
Are we going to get
probably
some nice stuff
look
in
at
there?
Something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Jacoby Brissett's playing,
he deserves it. It's the starter for the next 5 years.
Noah writes in two questions. First, is Paul always yelling or does he just talk crazy loud?
That I did was the notice. New board.
This well,
new
no,
board.
But I did notice like when we couldn't hear each other, we all took off our headphones except Paul. So he was yelling because he couldn't hear himself.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
Oh, I apologize.
That's funny. My apologize.
That's
I love that.
That's the Rob Bradfordism.
And two, what is the over-under for each of the top three draft quarterbacks should they come to New England for how many games they sit behind Brissett? How much development do the potentials need to usurp him? So it's kind of a good question. Yep. So let's throw all three in there, Any one of them. Who has to sit the longest? Who has to sit the least?
I'm going to just throw out there. I'd say Caleb Williams the least, just because he's going to go out there and just make it happen.
And plus, his father will insist that he plays.
I thought we were going a different three, but going.
Okay.
I mean, like,
You're
not
realistic.
Well, yeah, I don't think we can. Like, Caleb's not realistic.
Okay,
anymore,
so let's do five then.
No, I'm just saying. I think we can go Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy. That's the conversation I think we're having now. I don't think
not Penix.
Maybe at the top of the second round.
Okay.
But I think at least a season for JJ McCarthy, I would guess. Four games, the other two, something like that. Maybe a little bit longer on Jaden Daniels. I don't know.
I think you're going to get to camp with both Jaden Daniels and Drake May as a team like the Patriots that don't have, that solidified starter. That's not Jacoby Brissett. I think you're going to get into training camp and you're going to be like, we can't keep this guy off the field. I think he's going to be much better than Jacoby Brissett. The only question would be, do you do it just for his own good, that you hold the clipboard for a month, you hold the clipboard till Halloween, just because you think that's what's best for his long-term development, not necessarily that he's the worst player.
I like that. I like how you put it. Yeah.
I'm not interested in any of the rookie quarterbacks if they have to sit for more than a year, by the way.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Drake May needs to sit for 2 years.
Oh,
it goes back to what Evan said. It's like if you don't really have a belief that this guy could at some point knock off Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, at least like fool yourself. Like what are you doing? You're just spinning your wheels. That's why I keep saying it's worth it to miss on Daniels.
I don't mind
it's
if
worth it to miss on.
I don't mind if they if they draft someone at number three and he's not ready to play week one and you sort of have a soft launch, soft opening, you sort of Tua. I think Evan and I were talking about that earlier too. Ryan Fitzpatrick was there, kind of a similar guy to Jacoby Brissett. you let Fitzpatrick play, and then at some point you replace him. Mm-hmm. That's ideal to me. But in a 1 year max, if by year two he's not ready to play, we have a problem. We don't have Brett Favre keeping Aaron Rodgers on the bench. We don't have Aaron Rodgers keeping Jordan Love on the bench. Right? So I think that would be a real concern if
totally,
it was
totally
2 years in and you're not ready to play yet.
Let's check out the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. Bronson's in Salt Lake City. What's up, Bronson?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, no worries. So just a couple things really quick. So I know we're all obviously kind of set on drafting either quarterback that's there at three. And obviously we're going after Ridley pretty aggressively.
Okay.
Now, say if we don't land him, is there a world where you guys either go after a trade for like Keenan Allen, Higgins, Ayuk? Or do you possibly go after another free agent like Smith in the tackle and go after two wide receivers in the draft?
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call.
I think they'll pivot in the veteran market if Calvin Ridley turns them down.
Yeah.
Whether it's Hollywood Brown, it's a trade candidate, I think they'll pivot to somebody
else. The only problem, somebody else said, with Cousins leaving Minnesota, does that possibly make Justin Jefferson available in the trade? Maybe, but man, you're going to have to give up so
everything.
Much. And we're talking about the Patriots needing to, draft, develop. Yeah. I think that hurts them to. You
That's
have to give
makes.
Up a boatload for Justin Jefferson.
Well, what if?
Know? Or
what if we do the Colin Coward and trade?
He stinks. He can't play.
The radio host.
Yeah. I would do this deal that he's going to propose. Yeah. I don't think there's any chance that Minnesota would. But
so, if the Patriots trade down with Minnesota from 3 to 11, and Justin Jefferson is in the trade from Minnesota's side,
but they want more than that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Colin Coward has the Patriots also getting Minnesota's first round pick next year in this deal.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm all for this trade.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
I'm all for this trade. I don't think there's any chance that
why not?
To move up eight spots, they're going to give up one of the five best players in football plus a future first-round pick and I think a second-round pick. Is that?
Oh, I don't know how much the deal would look like.
Unless they're trying to do what the Bills are doing.
I don't know how much the deal. I don't know exactly
money.
No, I don't know what the deal is actually would look like in terms of all the picks that go back and forth. But make the Vikings have to ante up in that situation. Like, the Patriots are the ones that are trading down. And you're also trading down and handing the Vikings a quarterback in the draft.
Right, but you're trading down, yes, but the guy trading up is giving up a lot. Like, the player is
right, but
like,
you count Justin Jefferson as an asset, right? So, like, what is
but it's
what
more
is
than
worth?
Just a regular asset. It's better than anything you're going to get
he's
in the draft.
He's a proven top three quarterback.
He's one of my favorite
league.
Players in the league.
Right,
I'm not telling you he's bad. Like, it's not... But think about it as Justin Jefferson is worth how many picks?
Two first-round picks.
I don't think so. Tyreek Hill didn't even get two first-round picks. And
Justin Jefferson's better.
I don't know if he is. And you're also you also have to pay him. Like, that's the whole part from the Vikings standpoint is they might not want to pay Justin Jefferson $30 million a year.
Yeah.
So that's...
Guess what? Neither will we.
That's right, that's
well,
why
and
they're
that's
trying
what,
to make the
that
move.
To me is the...
That's the only reason they're getting rid of him. Like, it wouldn't be any other reason.
And that to me would be the stumbling block for Jefferson, Ayuk, Higgins. Like, I would say yes, yes, and yes. So all three of those guys.
I'll take any of them.
I think they're all terrific players, and I would be willing to trade resources to get them. But the problem is you're trading resources, and to make it worth your while, you now have to give that contract. So you have to have some kind of assurance.
Yeah.
And I know there's ways to do that. So, like, you can't have one. You can't say I'm going to give up two, second-round picks in consecutive years for T. Higgins. And not have an assurance that you're going to be able to retain him.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
No, you're definitely trading for him to sign him to an extension. I don't think Brandon Ayuk is super realistic either.
No.
I don't think the Niners are trading Brandon Ayuk.
No.
T. Higgins is the guy, has always been the guy. Whether he was a free agent or he was, in a trade. It's always
there's a more chance of them trading Deebo Samuel than Ayuk.
Yeah.
Don't
always.
You think? Hmm? For the Niners, there's more of a chance of them trading Deebo Samuel than Ayuk.
Yeah. He's a better player.
I think you're right.
I think that's kind of how things have shifted in the last season or so.
But I wouldn't worry about wide receiver if you're a Patriots fan, because in this year's draft, our lad has a dual meaning.
Oh, did you get
so with the amount of just out of curiosity,
you
here,
know, you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
15 minutes left in the show. With the amount of money the Bills have spent since they let all those guys go, you still think all those guys were just like money things?
Huh? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Dave says, of course Ridley would rather be in Jacksonville. No taxes, the weather's better, quarterback's better. I would imagine if we would have to offer a considerable amount more than the cheap crafts are willing to pay. Oh, that's terrible. I hope we're at least trying to get Higgins. We're pretty horrible at selecting wide receivers, so trade Juju, Thornton, a third. We forgot about Thornton when we were talking about wide receivers.
No, I didn't. I talked about him when.
Not a problem.
You guys were trying to tell me where all these new guys were going to fit in.
Here's the door. Thank you for coming.
Exactly.
Okay, but will they do that?
Why not?
I don't know.
It doesn't
know.
Cost them anything.
I don't know. I think Matt Groh like really likes him.
No, it's over. He's got to go.
It's over.
Jeez. He's got to go.
Did I hear
better chance? Tyquan Thornton on or off the roster for next year?
Off.
I would say Tyquan Thornton is.
Okay. I'll be on record as saying on.
Battling. Better chance that he's battling lost. For like wide receiver five or wide receiver six with Jalen Reagor.
With Kendrick Bourne.
No. Stop it.
Better chance I'll be on the roster Juju or Thornton.
Juju. Because of the contract.
Yeah.
Rodrigo says the Jaguars have started a faux bidding war to hide the fact that the deal with Ridley is already done and probably has been done since
you guys are really bumming me.
Since before the tampering period, Jaguars are using the Patriots to screw the Falcons out of a second round.
It's like
pick.
The first time possible. I heard Paul being like super positive. Like, I think it's going to happen. And
I still think it's
going
to happen. I refuse to believe.
Don't let them bring you down, Paul.
No,
keep your positive outlook.
Because like you
it's
guys,
it's going to happen at 11:59 when we're all.
I think the Bourne signing made so little sense. That it has to mean Ridley is coming. Yeah. Like something like that has to be happening.
They are planning on adding a veteran receiver. Whether it's Calvin Ridley, it's Hollywood Brown, it's a trade for somebody else. Like they're not coming out of this free agency period without adding a guy that they think is better than Kendrick Bourne. Yeah. Whether we'd think he's better than Kendrick Bourne, I guess remains to be
right.
seen. But
because right, like Hollywood Brown.
Let's see. Zane from New Jersey. Why would Justin Jefferson want to play for the Patriots with no quarterback but not want to play with Minnesota, who also has no quarterback? That trade doesn't make sense to me.
It's not up to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Traded.
I'm sure he's not thrilled about Sam Darnold, though.
No, that's why I think that he's on the table, because he specifically wanted to see what happened with their quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, now that I think about it, when it comes to the Vikings,
this one's going to be
good. We're going to spin it. Go ahead.
Well, this one's going to be good.
The fact that they weren't in on Cousins, he's gone, and then they just got Darnold, who I put in the category of Jacoby Brissett. Maybe they are thinking of moving up to get themselves a quarterback.
100%. J.J. McCarthy at 11 is obviously in play, but they are 100% a trade-up team, and the Falcons are no longer a trade-up team, which is a team that I wanted. If they were going to trade down, 3-8 was where I was thinking was the sweet spot.
11?
11's very far down.
No question, Freddie. This is Minnesota is the version of the Patriots. Signing Sam Darnold does not take them out of the trade-up category.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just like it doesn't take the Patriots out of taking a quarterback at 3 situation.
Right. Alex says they should. The Patriots should draft MHJ, sign Ridley, take a solid quarterback in the early second round, or move up a couple spots.
Okay.
The only thing, I'm not against the plan in general, except for the thinking you have the quarterback situation solved with the second round pick.
That you know, for a year, guys.
For the three teams in football that have their quarterback situation solved with a, post first round quarterback, there's just aren't that many guys. Mm-hmm. It's basically Dak
and Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
And we know Evan hates Brock Purdy, but I'm counting him for this exercise.
Yeah. I don't know why. No, I'm just kidding. The second round quarterbacks are going to be really Penix, maybe, if he falls that far. Nix, I think, will definitely be there. And then maybe Spencer Rattler is more like a third or fourth round quarterback. And those are the three guys that have any sort of starter
potential.
You guys
watch the kid from Tulane at all? Pratt?
He was awful at the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
I don't care about the Senior Bowl. Did you guys watch him, like, any tape or anything?
Yep.
Like, the Senior Bowl, to me, is, like, a very minor piece of the puzzle. I think the better thing for the Senior Bowl is they talk to the coaches and stuff. they get to sort of know people. Like, what actually happens on the field, to me, is...
Well, practices are more important than the game.
Yeah, but it's largely irrelevant to me. To me. I mean, a lot of people have different opinions. But I just meant, as, like, one of those day three kind of quarterbacks, has he got anything? Because I heard some people talking about it.
You know, he's a rhythm thrower. Like, he's an on-time passer, a guy that has some accuracy, but...
kind of a mobile pocket guy.
Yeah,
I think I read somewhere.
He can move around a little bit. I'm trying to think of a good comparison. He's not very physically, you know, doesn't have a great arm.
Yeah, I will say I've seen Tulane play a handful of times and have not been impressed with him. You know, like, he didn't stand out to me. Tulane's one of those teams that tends to be on, on the, you know, in, like, those different windows at different times. All of a sudden, Tulane, you know, and you watch it.
I think the biggest thing with him, the reason why he struggled at the Senior Bowl is that he is a guy that needs to be on time because he doesn't have great arm talent. So at Tulane, when he's in this offense for years, he can be on script all the time and it works. But once he got to the Senior Bowl and he was a little a tick late here, a tick late there, that's when he started to struggle. He's your typical fourth, you know, round, early day three, back serviceable backup type of quarterback.
Ford and Savannah. With the recent success of the Chase Burrow combo, we could get a baby version of this if we draft a Dunze and Penix. I'd love a quarterback with the third pick. However, if they aren't thrilled with whoever's left, a trade down to get Romeo Odunze and then possibly back up to get Penix could be the best option overall. More than the injury history, having one of his worst games on the national stage is keeping him wildly undervalued when he could end up as the best quarterback in this draft. How much college chemistry is worth between high draft picks at the quarterback and wide receiver position?
A little bit, but I think Odunze is a beast, and he's going to probably click with just about anybody.
It helps you hit the ground running. Yeah. There's no doubt about
certainly
that.
Certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
he has a rapport with one of his top receivers. I mean, how can that be a bad
transition a little bit?
Burrow and Chase, that was an impeccable thing for him to be able to do that. Because of Burrow's ACL.
But I think there's just as good a chance of him being the worst quarterback out of the top five, too. Like, you can talk yourself into whoever they take. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to forecast
this.
Whoever they take is going to be the guy everybody talks themselves into.
Is Penix a low floor, high ceiling guy?
I would say he's more of a floor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, you think he's a floor guy?
He's a high floor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, you think he's a high floor guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I thought he could be a boom or bust guy.
I think he's a low floor
guy. Well, I think because of injuries, like the email.
Yeah, if you're talking about play
if he's healthy, I think he will not be a bust.
Yeah.
His on-field concern is pressure. You know, he's not very mobile. He doesn't have great escapability, and he doesn't throw well off platform.
Like,
so
that's why I sort of balked at when you said, like, I like the try-hard guys. Like, it's not about try hard. It's about having a skill set that's like base, like reads the defense as well, good arm, throws accurately. Like, he has like this base set of skills. That's not a try hard.
Paul doesn't
like,
know.
JJ McCarthy's not a try hard.
Yeah. If he has a clean, if Michael Penix from a clean pocket is probably one of the best quarterbacks in this class. The second that you start to add the stuff around him, that's when it gets a little
dicey. Stetson Bennett a try-hard guy?
He's just not very good.
Who's a try-hard guy at quarterback?
Flutie.
Doug Flutie's a try-hard guy?
And he's one of the most athletic guys that you'll see.
Yeah. He's a try-hard guy.
Yeah. I'm going to run around and be Bambi. Throw the ball off my...
Great. All right. Looking forward to that tomorrow. We'll see you Thursday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. Subscribe on Apple, Google Play, and everywhere else you listen. Like the show? Please rate and review us. Listener comments and ratings help keep us high in the podcast rankings so new listeners can find us. Be sure to check patriots.com for more news and more podcasts.
The world's original podcast.